Hi, I'm Lee Matthew Goldberg, and this is my writer's dossier.
No writers were harmed in the production of this podcast.
Today in the interrogation chair, it's Lee Matthew Goldberg, where we talk about his new novel, Miles in Time, his new publishing enterprise, Fringe Press, his first acquisition with author Chris McGinley, and what it's like working with Hollywood. Welcome to the Dossier Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Writer's Dossier Podcast. And tonight, right here today, hopefully, whenever you're listening, you're going to hear the wise words from Lee Matthew Goldberg. Lee, thanks for joining us here on the Dossier Podcast.
Jeff, thanks so much for having me. This is a pleasure. I'm excited to get into it.
Well, I'm excited, too, because we met in Denver at a conference just a couple months ago, and I've been wanting to meet you. I've seen you at other writers' conferences in the past, and I see all your social media posts, and I've looked up all your stuff on your website, and I was really excited, and then I got your dossier. So everybody out there, go to thewritersdossier.com, look up the dossier for Lee Matthew Goldberg. You're going to learn a lot of fun stuff. Because I hit you right off the bat.
Best.
The
question yes, you about did. The yeah, yeah. Which and I hit you right back. So it was all good.
I want to get right into it here because we cut things short here. People don't have a lot of time to listen to the long form. So we get right at it. And I want to jump right into these questions here. You've written, what, 14, 15 books now?
So my 15th book just came out on Tuesday. Yeah, Miles in Time. And then the 16th is coming out next month, the sequel. Yeah. So 16.
Outrageous. 16. So I was going to say your latest titled Miles in Time came out at the beginning of May, and it's a young adult time travel mystery.
Yes.
The cool subtitle is Solve the Mystery, Save the Future. Dude, that's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's fun. You know, I mostly write adult, you know, thrillers that tend to really be very fucked up and dark. And this is like my sweeter side.
You got to keep it sweet for the kids. It sounds like a lot of pressure. Solve the mystery, save the future. So you think it's important to create stories in the young adult genre that tell that age group of readers that there are big consequences in life?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I also feel like as a writer, it just keeps me on my toes and it challenges me to go a little bit outside my norm and write different things. But yeah, I mean, I think it's really important. The character is 14. You know, we're junior high going into high school. It's a really important age. It's when kids really grow up in a lot of ways. So I think, you know, my character Miles is somebody that kids could look up towards. He has a lot on his shoulders. There's a time machine. He has to save his brother's life. He has to save the very fabric of time itself. So it may help some kids who are dealing with some problems put their problems into perspective.
I love that you jumped out of the stuff that you're doing and you broadened out. You've got your fingers in a lot of pots, and I really admire that.
Thank you.
We kind of do that here. So congratulations on doing so much.
Thank you. Yeah. I always feel like in this career, like, let me throw everything at the wall and we'll see what sticks and what doesn't.
That's some good advice for people out there. If what you've been doing isn't working, if you've written three books in the same whatever with the same everything, try something different.
Change it up a little bit. Yeah, absolutely. Thought. Do a pen name. I mean, there's so many options.
Yeah. Oh, there are. And so many people out there to draw from and to learn from. Yeah. It, the more I get into it, the more amazed and surprised I am. And one of the things that surprised me was in your writer's dossier, you said that your hilarious book, The Great Gimlins, you said that it was being adapted into a screenplay. And at that time that it was in good hands. You also said that you never put too much in Hollywood due to your past experiences. So what are some of those experiences, Lee?
I've had a lot. Yeah, I mean, you know, you write 15 books over the course of time. People notice and, you know, people in Hollywood get attached to things and they fall out of it. So I don't know, about half my stuff, I think, overall has people attached to it in some form. And I take that all with a grain of salt. You know, like one of my projects, we have an actress attached. Another, we have a director attached. Another, we have a producer attached. The Gimmelmans, so actually changed a little bit, I think, since I saw you. It's in a stage of somebody bigger getting attached, and we're sort of waiting to see what happens with that at this point. Right now, I think things are with lawyers and legal, and hopefully it still continues. That's about all I could say. But if it does happen, it's somebody I'm really a fan of, and I think they would do a really great job. Yeah.
We are excited about that. And what I'm hearing is you have a lot of stuff going on. That's a lot of stuff out there, and it's a big waiting game.
It's all the waiting.
Yeah.
Yeah. My whole life is just like waiting for that phone call, basically. But I mean, a lot also, I've been proactive and I've made happen on my own. So yeah, I would say like maybe four or so things attached with Hollywood. They were me finding the people and reaching out and making it happen. So sometimes if the phone doesn't ring, you need to pick up the phone yourself.
Got to make it happen.
Yeah.
Got to make it happen. Right. Zuni.com is a small, dynamic website development company that has created, designed, and maintained author websites for over 25 years. They specialize in customized WordPress sites for writers of all genres, for both debut authors and those with dozens of books. They also support branding through print and online ads, social media design, custom newsletters, and other promotional materials. While they're in the business of creating functional beauty, they're best known for their individualized attention to clients and details, along with amazing responsiveness. Every web designer has a different style. So to see if Zuni is right for you, take a look at their designs. They're all well-organized, creative, professional, and convey a sense of the author's personality. See what I mean at xuni.com. That's Zuni.com. You make things happen because you recently launched the Fringe Press.
Yes.
And it hit, at least it hit my radar, like a bomb went off. Everyone just flipped out. And I heard through the grapevine that you got some 800 novel submissions within, what, the first few hours?
No. In total. Yeah. I think we've had...
Dude, that's what I was going for as I'm trying to push that.
Yeah, but 800...
Your TBR, your read pile must be 10 feet high.
The read pile is super high. I am not the first reader. There's business partners of mine who read the slush pile. So I get when the cream kind of rises to the top. So like they're inundated with the 800 submissions. And then, you know, I think I've read maybe like 40 in total, something like that.
I'm sorry, we're having a little audio trouble here. I think I heard 1,800 submissions for Fringe Press. Okay.
No, 8.
That's great news.
Yeah, 800. It's been great. I mean, look, I've been in this business a little over a decade. I know a lot of people in the mystery thriller space. So a lot of submissions have been from people, honestly, that I've met over the years and that I know. And then my business partners are attached to Pipeline Media. So we've had a lot of submissions of screenwriters, which is their company, submitting like their first novel that they wrote or they've adapted from a script and this and that. But yeah, out of 800, there really was only one so far that we've acquired that really fit what we're looking for, which is really to find something that, you know, we could feed through a pipeline to adapt to film and TV. So our first one, Hail Holy Queens, will be out most likely winter next year. Yeah, winter 2026.
I was going to say your first Fringe Press acquisition was from a fellow Dossier member.
I love it. Yeah.
So Chris. We can say the name. I mean, I know around out there.
It's been announced on Publishers Marketplace. And yeah, no, I mean, Chris McGinley sent us his manuscript and like instantly we've fallen in love with it. And we're on our kind of last edits right now. So it's going through the last stages at this point. And we're really excited.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a fun, I mean, fun, but it's a book about these nuns in a convent in 19th century Berkshires. And these gurus or beasts are on the outskirts kind of picking the nuns off one by one. And this nun from France that they call the Long Nun comes along and she's like, you need to fight back. So it's basically nuns versus beasts in like a Quentin Tarantino style. And I'm fell in love with it. Yeah. So it's fun, but it also has something to say about the patriarchy and it has a deeper meaning as well, which is, you know, something we're also looking for.
Well, people need to check out Chris McGinley. The last book, Once These Hills, has had a perfect 5-star rating on Amazon.
Wow.
So that says a lot.
Wow.
So it also says a lot about.
Yeah. Chris.
Yeah, last I look, absolutely. We'll put the image up here.
I'm that not surprised.
Says a lot about his writing and also your eye. Mm-hmm. What is it that's special about a book that's going to get your attention?
So number one, we have to see a path for film and television. You know, that's really why this company was started. My main interest is to get books optioned and ultimately greenlit and attached with like the right producers or managers or whatever the path would be in Hollywood. So it has to be high concept. You know, we're definitely looking for something where the pages keep turning and turning and turning. So mostly in the thriller horror space, literary, but it has to have some plot and meat to it, you know, but literary that could be made into maybe an indie film we're open to as well. Sci-fi as well. I will say though, we get a lot of sci-fi, and don't send us sci-fi where the first 50 pages is like an info dump.
Yeah. We're going to do world building here for the first, you know, five chapters.
No, like get into the story. That's my advice for anybody writing sci-fi. Like, no info dump, just get right into the story.
Get into the story. That's the best advice.
And then, you know, when you're writing something with Hollywood in mind, you also want to think a little bit potentially about the budget. So anything with a smaller budget is a lot easier to be made. So a giant sci-fi epic that would be like $100 million, it's never going to happen. So like horror that could be made cheaply, if your book is that, perfect. Send it to Fringe.
Okay, Lisa, you live on the East Coast in New York, and your editing partner, your editor-in-chief, Zoe Quinton, lives on the West Coast. What's the strategy there? Are you going to get everything on the East? She's going to get everything on the West? Or is she there for the Hollywood angle? I mean, how's it work there with Fringe?
Yeah,
people get it to you and then great things happen.
Yeah, so Zoe's sort of the not Hollywood end. She's just a brilliant editor. And when we were looking for an editor in chief, and she's a great friend of mine, she was the first person that popped into my mind. You know, originally I was starting up the company with sort of different people. And then when they weren't able to do it, I had to kind of reframe it. And I think I called up Zoe and like she was hired the next morning. I mean, it was just kind of kismet. And then look, this way, like we could have a party in California for Fringe. We could have a party in New York City. And then my other business partners from Pipeline also are in LA. So yeah, we're bi-coastal.
I'm hearing a lot of fun here at Fringe. So that's you mentioned it a few times, and I found this in my research. I really wanted to talk to you about Pipeline Media, the Pipeline Media Group, and how people can get involved with their novels, screenplays, as well as services involved that might help someone get an agent or find a publisher. They're doing a lot of great things out there for the writing community. Talk to me a little bit about that and how that might work with you and how involved you are, or is it all your business partner? And what do people need to do to get involved?
Yeah, so about half of Fringe is from Pipeline Media. I met them through Script Pipeline about 10 years ago. A pilot of mine did well. It reached the final. So I went out to LA and met with a bunch of producers through Pipeline. And then about 2 years ago, I was talking about this idea I had for Fringe. And, you know, it just seemed right. Like I was already leaning towards a film and TV kind of path for it. And Pipeline Media has been around for about 25 years. They've had a script competition series. They've opened it up to books. They've opened it up to film. Like they have a bunch of different avenues to mostly connect people with like managers and agents, publishers as well. So it just seemed like a great fit. And, you know, so far it really has been. And if you write screenplays, they're a wonderful place to submit screenplays as well for a competition series. Right now in Hollywood, a few of them have closed down. So like it's like a weird time right now for competition series, but Pipeline still exists. So like you never know. Yeah.
Well, people need to definitely go out and look them up, because when I was going through the website, I was really impressed. And I happened to be looking at one of my water bottles from VoucherCon, and there was a sticker from their marketing. It was like, I put it on there at some point, and I'm like, oh, and it all came together. So I'm glad they're still out there and they're doing well.
Oh yeah. They're very good at branding, and like now we're moving that branding into Fringe as well. So like Fringe is becoming good at branding. We have a hat.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We've had a big F on it somewhere over here. I love it. Oh, that's cool.
FP.
That's cool. Last question, Lee. What's going to happen with the big four or five or whoever they are? Because they keep publishing, you know, big books, and some of them get a lot of attention. but it seems like there's this undercurrent, a strong undercurrent of growth with a lot of small presses, and putting it all together like you are with the Hollywood angle, with film and TV, audiobooks. I think you guys are going to be nimble and maybe quicker. I don't know. What's going to happen to the big guys, and how are all these small guys going to maybe nip at those heels and find success?
Sure. I mean, look, I think the big four will be always fine in their own way. These are giant, you know, multi-million/billion-dollar conglomerates that are owned by like Viacom. Like, they're not worried about Fringe, you know what I mean? But at the same time, you know, like, I think small presses and indie presses are really taking chances. They're publishing stuff that maybe the marketing team at a big four is like, we don't know how to market it necessarily. And I think that indie presses are just treating readers a little bit more intelligently, honestly, not so much thinking like, okay, well, you read this one book, so that means you're going to like this book. It's like, readers are really smart people. They're already reading. They're smarter than most of the population. They're choosing to do it on their own. And if they like a book, maybe they'll take a chance that's something a little bit different. So when I had the idea for Fringe, I was like, something on the fringe, something that, you know, is just a little off the beaten path. And then, you know, these days, really where the money is if you sell a book to film and TV and it gets optioned and it gets greenlit. I mean, that could potentially be a life-changing amount of money. So that's always been my passion and my goal for my own books. So it just felt kind of natural to do with Fringe as well. And yeah, I mean, I hope we nip at their heels a little bit. Like, why not? But like I said, I think they'll be okay.
Well, I hope you have a lot of success, because I think you're right. You've got a good eye for things. I think there are a lot of people out there who aren't associated with the bigs who have a good eye, and they know what people like. And so, at least one more question, actually.
Sure.
What's more likely, getting a big giant book deal with one of the bigs or getting a film option with anybody?
I mean, a film option with anybody, sure. A film option with somebody that really is amazing and is going to make your movie happen. We're talking a movie that wouldn't be made for like a couple $1,000 or something. Yeah, I mean, that's harder. You know, like, you know, and if you have a great agent and you have a really good book, you have a good shot at getting a good book deal. You know, Hollywood, it's so much more money invested into something if you think about it. Books are cheap as hell. Like, it's not expensive. Films are millions of dollars. There's crews of hundreds of people. There's just so much more writing on it that it just makes it, you know, like a diamond in whatever the cliche is, a haystack or whatever. But both are hard, you know, and like, I don't know. I hope that we could in some way make it a little easier too. And like, look, this is also like, you know, for myself, like I'm trying to expand into Hollywood as well. So like the more people I could meet, you know, like, everything kind of, you know, all a rising tide lifts all ships. So like that's what I'm looking at Fringe and, you know, for my own path as a writer.
Well, I love that you're doing both. I love that you have a vision beyond a book on a bookshelf that, you know, lands and stays there for a little while and then gets replaced. So yeah. We wish you and Fringe and even your partners at Pipeline all the success in the world. Love what you're doing.
Thanks so much.
And hopefully you're welcome. Hopefully people will check you out and grab your dossier, learn a little bit more about you, follow you on social media, and definitely check out the website. What's the website address, Lee?
So it's leematthewgoldberg.com, and it's brand spanking new. I just redid it about a week ago, and it looks very, very nice.
It does. I agree. We're going to put that up in the show notes for everybody to click on and go see. And thank you so much for joining us. It's really
Thanks
good
so
to talk to you.
Thanks for all your information. It's a pleasure. Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Anytime. Thanks. Bye, everybody.
The Dossier Podcast is a production of The Idea Academy.